Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the business update call of Synoris Pharmaceuticals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Before we begin, I would like to point out that this conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements do not guarantee the future performance of the company, and it may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Swapnil Shah, Managing Director of Synoris Pharmaceuticals. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Am I audible? Is it clear?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm pleased to welcome you today to discuss the recent developments relating to our acquisition of Apnar Pharmaceuticals Private Limited, which operates a U.S. FDA manufacturing facility in Gujarat. Also, the acquisition of five highly high-quality ANDA assets, erstwhile owned by Sandoz, transferred from its parent company and currently manufactured at the same site. I will begin by outlining the strategic rationale behind this acquisition, followed by the key transaction details, after which we will be happy to take all your questions. As you are aware, Synoris has witnessed a rapid growth over the past few years. We have expanded our ANDA portfolio both organically as well as inorganically, while also scaling up our CDMO/CMO business in the U.S. significantly. Our manufacturing presence in the U.S. has been a core competitive advantage and continues to remain so. We are currently expanding capacity at our U.S. facility to support growing demand that we currently have. However, our presence in regulated markets has been very limited. To support our long-term growth ambitions and provide adequate headroom, we have been focused on expanding our geographic footprint. In line with this strategy, we have acquired Apnar Pharma Private Limited, which operates a US FDA approved facility in Gujarat. This acquisition offers a compelling strategic benefits and positions us to sustain strong growth in the years to come. With the current portfolio of about 70 plus ANDAs that we have either approved or unapproved, the large 4 billion plus of market opportunity in other regulated market that is lying for us, this facility will strategically be catering into that 4 billion plus market as we speak. The facility was commissioned in 2021 and received USFD approval in September 2022. It is largely unutilized and relatively new, spread across two land parcels totaling approximately 49,000 square meters. The larger parcel measuring over 40,000 square meters remains entirely vacant and available for future expansion. The operational facility, which is a built area of approximately 40,000 square feet, is located on the second parcel, which spans roughly 4,500 square meters. The site also houses comprehensive multi-dose research and development infrastructure, along with state-of-the-art quality control and analytical lab. The plant has an installed capacity of annually about 275 million capsules, scalable to 600 million. Current capsule production stands about 225 million units with the potential to increase 500 million. Bottle capacity is presently 16 million units per annum, which can be expanded to about 30 million units. A key highlight of this acquisition is the facility's strong regulatory profile. In addition to the US, the plant is also approved by UKMHRA and Health Canada. Currently, commercialization of to this country is also going on as we speak. This accreditation provide immediate access to other regulated market over and above US, Canada, and UK. As we proceed further, we will also be looking at UGMP, COFEPRIS, ANVISA of Brazil to get the regulatory access from this particular site. Given our robust pipeline of ANDA launches and existing CDMO/CMO commitments, this additional USFD approved facility creates significant flexibility to shift manufacturing of some products from US to India, where US-based production is not mandatory. This not only reduces the single-site risk but also enables faster scale-up and quicker production launches and accelerated growth. With two USFDA-approved manufacturing facilities and cost rationalization between two countries, we are well-positioned to leverage cross-selling selling opportunities while driving both revenue growth and cost efficiency. With expansion of our manufacturing base, we'll be better positioned to pursue a wider range of opportunities in CDMO/CMO segment as well, with cost advantages working out between the two plants. Geographic diversification increases our supply chain resilience while advanced R&D and quality control enhances analytical ability, quality oversight on operational efficiency, provide a strong platform to continue our expansion in regulated markets. Turning to transaction details, Synoris will acquire Apnar Pharma for a total enterprise value of 91 crores. Out of this 91 crores, 76 crores represents debt associated with the facility and other expenses, which will be assumed by Synoris and refinanced at a lower interest rate as we move forward. The remaining 15 crores will be paid as equity in two tranches. The equity contribution will be funded through IPO proceeds allocated for general corporate purposes as well as our internal accruals. Out of these five ANDAs, three are already validated and qualified and are capable of being commercialized immediately. The transaction is expected to 75% of it is expected to close by March 26 and remaining 25 by October 2026. To summarize, this acquisition marks a major strategic milestone for Synoris, expanding our manufacturing capacity and strengthening our presence in regulated markets, including US, UK, Canada, and more. It also adds five approved ANDA with a combined market opportunity of over $700 million. Overall, the acquisition enhances scalability, enables accelerated product launches, improves operating leverage and margins, and expands CDMO/CM opportunities, positioning Synoris for sustained growth and long-term and to create long-term shareholder value. Thank you for your patient listening. I would like to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Payal Shah with Pillion Securities. Please go ahead. Payal Shah, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
You can hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. I have few set of questions. Firstly, why did Apnar Pharma sell the plant and ANDAs to us? You did mention that the market size of the ANDAs that you have got is around $700 million. And Apnar's revenue was at around 15 crore INR for the past 3 years. So just want to understand the reason for such low sales and at the same time, what gives us the confidence that we can extract more revenue out of these ANDAs? And if you can just also tell the peak revenue potential, can you think we can achieve from these?
Yes, thank you, Pal. So Apnar, they had like two manufacturing units, one in the US, one in India. There were too many expansions happening at the same time for them, which kind of led to, sources crunch in terms of the how and where the sources of funds are going to be utilized. Hence, they were not able to kind of accommodate the existing approved products or could fund the working capital to get that growth of those products as we speak. Also, ANDAs that they had was very limited, only five products that they had in the portfolio, and also directly linked to their own marketing as we speak in the US. So that is one of the reasons why we could do quite a value buy as we speak on that side. Coming to us, our post-acquisition, we expect upwards to about 100 crore of revenue coming out of this plant in next year from FY27. Peak revenue from the current existing infrastructure that they have would be around 250 crores. So probably FY28, we feel that that's the revenue number that we can able to get from this particular manufacturing plant. Just to give you a rationale behind the number, that's about 600 million units that we are able to produce. On an average, if you consider a 4 rupee a unit, 3 to 4 rupee a unit, we are at about 250 crores of the revenue. So if you utilize that 250 million, the 300 million existing capacity, right? I'm not talking about anything over and above. That is the revenue coming out to be, which we feel, which is in line with what we are today, what we are going to be looking at in the future, doable, quite doable on FY28 basis. To give you another perspective, we have out of our 46 approved ANDA that we have today, we have about 40 products that are non-controlled. And we have 22 other ANDAs that are different stages. So we have 52 strengths, 22 ANDAs and 133 strengths, 46 ANDAs, out of which also we have about 15 odd ANDAs which are non-controlled, right? So quite a bit of it where we feel that there could be cost advantage for us moving it to India. We can explore and try and see what's possible. So that's the rationale behind what we think could be a right addition for us.
So I'll just add, Swapnil, just give me a minute, Payal. One thing is very clear. See, Apnar India is a 100% subsidiary of a US-based parent. It was set up to sort of act as a completely outsourcing arm for the parent. Now, unfortunately, parent was not able to assimilate itself in terms of resources, strengths, etc. And that is where Apnar lost stream. So Apnar's dependent on parent was 100%. Now, for us, we have a very strong front-ending in US. Lot of ANDAs are there, a very, very strong marketing setup. So for us, this was a very good opportunity. And primarily, we have essentially paid for the plant plus the approvals and nothing more. It's not a business-driven decision.
Okay. Thank you so much for the elaborate answer. In continuation to my earlier question, can you also give some color on the profitability and balance sheet? Because they had a debt of 75 crores while doing a revenue of 15 crores. So just what is the reason for taking over such a big debt? Like, is the plant sort of a distressed sale? Some clarity here would be really helpful.
Yes, very true.
Any color on the profitability?
No. I think Deval was saying, but I'll just elaborate very quickly. As I said, Apnar's plant was completely and totally underutilized. The parent had to support, so it had borrowed funds. There were funds which were lent by the parent itself in the form of ECBs. And since there was no revenue because of the parents' issues, this plant could not be utilized at all. I don't think it was even utilized by 5%. So sort of a distress sale, yes, you may say so.
Okay. So my next question is, which are the products or therapies when you plan to shift the production to this new site from the US facility?
Swapnil?
Yes, so we are in the process of figuring out what products we would want to start making in this site from our existing basket. But currently they have three, as I mentioned, they have three products that are ready to ship. In fact, there is an inventory also on some of the products that is there for which we just have to change the label, do a labeler code, ship it out to US. So commercialization of two products out of three will happen as early as January as we speak, right? So it's an immediate commercialization opportunity on two out of three, and third will happen in due course, which is another 30 to 60 days. So those will be the start for us, which will immediately start generating revenue first month itself. And while we qualify more products and rationalize the portfolio and see what we can move here, that will continue to add as we move forward because it will require regulatory approval, right? So it will take about 3 to 5 months before we kind of move and start production of our own product from that side. But yeah, those three will start as early as January as we speak.
Okay. Thank you so much for the elaborate answers. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thanks.
The next question comes from the line of Richa with Equity Master. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. A lot of my questions have been answered. My question was regarding, you know, the revenue profile that you have shared of the acquired entity almost halved in FY25 as compared to FY24. So was it related to end markets or is this company specific or parent specific issues? And also if you could just talk about profitability of the acquired entity, that would help.
Parent specific issues, which as I said, we have acquired this as a facility plus approvals. That's it.
Profitability wise, what we expect is that 100 crore plus revenue next year will be almost at least 30% of EBITDA. Is what is expected.
Okay.
For the facility.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
The next question comes from the line of Jigar Shah with Elevate Research. Please go ahead. Jigar Shah, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question. Jigar Shah, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question. As there's no response, we'll move on to the next question. It's from the line of Uman Cholani with Concept Investwell. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
So I just wanted to stress on the fact that we were saying that we want to ship some of the production of our products from the US facility to the new facility that we've acquired right now. So I just wanted to understand that how will that potentially help us in margin expansion? Like, have we made some calculations with respect to that for the next 2 to 3 years? How do we see the margin trajectory after this acquisition?
Yes, I want. Thank you for your question. So once we, as I said, we are in a process of rationalizing our portfolio in terms of what we can move to India. So two strategic things that happen structurally, right? I mean, if you look at it at high level, I free up some of the capacity in the US, which can be utilized for slightly higher margin than what the margin profile of those products that exist, correct? I don't need to make slightly lower margin products in the US. It can be extended out to India. That is point number one. Now, the cost associated with those products, once it moves to India, the cost also significantly reduces, right? So that's another strategic advantage. So overall, I become competitive on slightly on a product that are margin compressed. And on the other side, my capacity gets freed up in the US for us to do a high margin product on CDMO, CMO and a couple of other controlled substance areas that we are currently working on. Over and above, there is a massive analytical support that a facility in India will give to facility in the US, which further enhances our dependency on third-party external labs and that kind of enhance our overall operational ability in terms of where we stand. So overall, you know, if you see these three structural changes, it's a very very well placed acquisition if you think about it.
So just to very slightly elaborate, you see US fundamentally will cater to CDMO, CMO, where it is government or controlled substances or our own products that directly, indirectly go into government or controlled substances. Retail may, now we have a very big portfolio of ANDAs where, as Swapnil said, some of these products can easily come to India and then it can become a very strong complementing effort to further strengthen my US presence.
Fair enough, sir. That makes sense. And
yes.
I just wanted to understand, like, out of our total revenue, will we see an increased percentage terms revenue coming from regulated market after this acquisition? So if you look right now, it's about 65%-70% from regulated markets. So can we expect that as and when we scale up the revenues upwards of 100 crores to 250 crores from this new facility, the overall share in the total revenue will increase more from regulated markets?
Surely, yes. Surely in immediate future, yes.
Okay, and sir, any plans that you have for semi-regulated markets that you'd like to share, or nothing of that sort as of now?
No. Swapnil.
I think nothing on semi-regulated from this,
semi-regulated.
No.
Semi-regulated plans from a different perspective. That's what I think the question is. At a different location.
Yeah, I just wanted to understand the business, like how does it transition over time? Like, so can we expect regulated markets to contribute about 80-85% upwards of 90% of the revenue?
Yeah, so I'll just answer, in three parts. One is, the question is whether we see regulated market revenue share to increase from where it is today. The answer is yes, 100%. The second portion is, how do we see other regulated markets from this particular plant? The way we see other regulated market, as I stated in my opening speech, is there's about a $4 billion worth of products which are already approved for us in the U.S. has potential in other regulated markets. Now, when I say UGMB, Europe or Brazil or Mexico, you have Australia, New Zealand, and multiple of those other regulated markets. This has Canada, UK and Canada is another one, right, which we already spoke about. Some of our products already have a great potential in these markets. Now, currently, we were all focused on the U.S., though we had the product which could go into this market, but the whole journey becomes a very, very, very strong now with our presence in India with those markets, right? So, overall accessibility of that 4 billion plus market opportunity on our 70 odd ANDAs that are already in the pipeline and there are other products that are there, that becomes more viable and more visible. And third part, overall margin profile, we do not think that margin profile will change much, maybe 100-200 basis points increment you probably would see, but that we will guide it as we go deeper and start producing and do product registration on multiple geographies as well as get some of the manufacturing in India for a cost advantage basis.
And I think, Swapnil, just to add, his question was for semi-regulated markets, what could be the strategy? Will we look for a new site?
So we already have a site, right, for non-reg, semi-reg markets.
Exactly.
Our site in Ahmedabad, Chhatral, we are going ahead with a PIX accreditation, right, for that site. So we expect
exactly.
Q1, calendar Q1 2026, that PIX is going to be granted for our plant. There, anyway, we have 12 manufacturing lines, right? We have orals, we have liquid, and we have injections. So even in injections, we have PFS, bile, ampule, three lines on that side, and oral liquid, pretty much everything that we are able to do. So that will continue to cater to the non-reg and semi-reg market. And we have more than 180-190 products, individual molecules, and about 3,000 plus registrations that are under works from that plant. So that will also continue to drive our business as we move forward.
Sure, sir. Thank you. That answers my question.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Divyam Doshi with 923 Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I wanted to ask that as our capacity expands towards the higher end of installed limits, how do you decide whether to put incremental output towards our own portfolio or third-party CMO, CDMO opportunities?
Yes, so Divyam, when we look at it, we don't look at our own portfolio CDMO, CMO from a capacity standpoint. We look at what is the production target that we have based on the current existing business we have, whether it is CDMO or CMO of our own product, and how we can maximize our output so that our margin remains steady or it can increase. So I think from a manufacturing standpoint, rationalizing is on the manufacturing output, not on the vertical of business. Yeah, I mean, end of the day, if we are able to make more money out of one of those verticals, maybe we will try and see how we can maneuver that capacity towards that vertical. But in terms of manufacturing rationalization, it doesn't work that way.
Okay, and I wanted to ask that after the new Apnar facility, what would be the change in key integration costs, that is systems, people, quality, processes? They may not be visible in the headline numbers right now, but do they matter over a longer term?
Very little integration costs, I think. Hardly any.
Yeah, no, before we acquired, we did rigorous 3 audits of the plant. We got an external audit done through a very well qualified USFDA consultant. Our in-house corporate QA team also audited twice the plant. So it's not been done in a way that there was a plant available and you want to go and acquire it, right? We ourselves made sure that all quality parameters are checked, and in case if there were some leeway that we had to work on, are doable, right? So all significant amount of work was done before this acquisition, and we've been working on it. We've been talking to each other for almost last 10 months. It's not happened like overnight, right? So over the last 10 months, we've been continuously in touch. Last 3 months, we have activated multiple resources in terms of quality, in terms of operation, in terms of people, how we can utilize our existing manpower, qualified manpower, to ensure that the related output that we want, we are able to get it, and the quality point of view as well. Already both the supply chain teams are in touch, both the regulatory teams are in touch, both the QA teams are in touch. So all the integration, it's already been done as we speak today. And if you look at our journey, we have been very aggressive and strong in terms of our ability to work, our action points have been very, very crisp and sharp. And that is what we continue to do even for this acquisition as we move forward.
So just to quick add, the plant is not very old. 21-22 ka plant hai, so it's not much maintenance capex that is required. I might spend another 5-7 crores quickly to, upgrade a few of the facilities. And number of people are not more than 50-60. And most of them are willing to continue with us. So it's not very difficult journey. That's what I wanted to clarify.
Correct.
The current participant has been disconnected. We'll move on to the next question. It's from the line of Gaurav T with Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. So congratulations on the deal. Couple of questions. Would you help us understand, what would have taken, in terms of a financial cost to set up this kind of a facility on your own? Of course, with the acquisition, we get immediate access to capacities. But just trying to understand the multiple to book value, so would this have, if you were set this up on our own, would this have costed us more than 90 crores?
I think a new plant today, if we see similar plant, should be more than 125 to 130 crores with a 3-year time frame. That is more important for us.
Got it. And
minimum.
Understand. So it's accurate from that basis. And the land is owned, or this would be a lease land?
Freehold. own.
Pre-owned land. These are pre-owned land.
Yeah, so just to add, we have about 60,000 square yard of available land with this acquisition. Itself has a significant value attached to it. As Deval Bhai said, it easily would cost us around 125 to 130 crores to set something like this up today, not even considering the intangible assets attached to it, right? So that's also a significant portion. Plus, you know, 2 to 3 years, minimum 2 to 3 years time frame in terms of qualifying the plant, product, and getting the right approval. So I think we've been able to, you know, get to market much faster with this acquisition and not kind of been able to spend money what otherwise a greenfield setup would cost.
Oh, wonderful, sir. That's great. So I got your guidance, you know, by FY28, we could potentially see an optimal utilization of this facility. So guessing with the land cost already part of this value, incremental blocks you can set up would be at a considerably more lower capex, right? Which should allow you to see, you know, capacity expansion for at least the long term too, not only the near to medium term. Would that be a right way to see this?
Yeah, in a way. So as I say, Gaurav, for making this plant operational fully, I have to have very little capex. That is point number one. We'll add some working capital. That's very obvious. First year target is about 100-120. Swapnil already mentioned that in next 3 years, 2 to 3 years, it has the potential to easily go up to 200-250. But we will wait and see how it goes. I think till I reach a decent capacity utilization, इसमें कोई मेरे को इंक्रीमेंटल कैपेसिटी एडिशन का कैपेक्स करने की कोई जरूरत नहीं है.
वो करंट ब्लॉक का सर, थ्री
इयर्स करंट ब्लॉक
के बाद द एग्जिस्टिंग लैंड पार्सल कैन यू कैन सेट अप एडिशनल ब्लॉक्स, राइट?
वी हैव लॉट ऑफ ऑप्शन, वी विल इवैल्यूएट. या या, बट वी विल टेक अ कॉल एज वी मूव फॉरवर्ड. लैंड इज अवेलेबल.
ग्रेट सर. So on this revenue number guidance, I missed the part on, you know, the EBITDA accretion and when do you see this deal being, you know, P&L or EPS accretive to your P&L?
Deval?
Yeah, on a 120 crores revenue, I think we are expecting 30% plus EBITDA from this plant. Our initial estimate is this. I think that will be an additional.
This estimate should be in 26-27.
26-27.
Yeah.
First year of operation.
Yeah, the first year. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
And today, my debt portion, if you see the debt portion, I think the debt portion is, as Sanjay said, it is around 50 crores. 75 crores is including my current liabilities and everything. So that should remain at the same level even after this. There should not be any additional debt, long-term debt taken. Working capital, yes, it will be there. New working capital facility will add, but overall debt will remain at around 50 crores, 50 to 55 crores. That is what we expect.
Including working capital, I think safely 75, including incremental additional working capital. That's the max I should say in year one.
That's the max.
Yeah.
And I'll be generating almost 30% or 30 crores of EBITDA on that. 30 plus EBITDA in the first year of operation.
Got it.
Which I feel is a comfortable ratio for debt.
Got it. So if I may, just a last question before I join the queue, with your permission. So, you know, the five ANDAs, they are competitive. So a large part, you know, would be by moving our current filings to this side also. You said that it would take 3 to 5 months to get those filings done and, you know, approved. So this will be through the CB30 route or this will be through the PASS route? If you could just help us understand this 3 to 5 months timeline, please.
Yes, part of the portfolio will be CBE-30 route, and some of the products that we have in a pipeline, which are not necessary for government or control substance, can easily be done through this side, which could be through pass route. So it will be combination of both. But yeah, I mean, the first go-to would be, of course, CB30, which is 3 to 5 months time frame, max 6 months from that perspective for us, because there are already commercial product. We are selling it in the US, right? So that's a pure change of site as we speak.
Understood, sir. Well, congratulations to the team and all the best for the.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Jigar Shah with Elevate Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good morning. Morning. Sir, a couple of questions. The first one is on the CAPEX. So we are adding two lines at the US plant, and now we will have this US FDA approved facility from Aptar Pharma. Suppose this, how should one look at the capacity expansion for FY27 and FY28? We have marked around 100 crores for further expansion at the US plant, which you have mentioned in the past that it will be done in FY27. So beyond that, what is the CAPEX plan in coming 2-3 years?
Yes.
I think difficult to pinpoint exactly. Huh? Please go ahead.
Yeah. So Jigar, on capacity, as we already stated, US next year, by mid next year, we'll have about a 2 billion unit production capacity. So that doesn't change. We already have a plans, and we already have confirmed products that are going to be manufactured, because they're all under filing, so on and so forth as we speak. So that our capacity expansion doesn't change. Now, coming to India with this acquisition, as we stated, we have about 2 to 50 million unit of current capacity at India plant. So part of that US and the new products that we have will come to India, which will be incremental about 150 million, so to speak, at a high level as we consider today. So on the both the side, I think we are adequate in terms of capacity-wise for next 12 to 18 months in terms of oral solids are concerned. Coming to our CDMO injectable vertical that we have said, which we will be putting up in the US, is largely catering into biologics and general injectable CDMO verticals that we want to put in. Those plans still remain intact. Nothing changes on that side. So we have to look at it from a dosage form standpoint. So one is the oral solids, which we said this is what in the US. Furthermore, on beyond 2 billion, I think that's no plan. There is no plan for us to expand beyond that as far as oral solid is concerned in the US. And as I said, we will continue to expand a little bit on the India side so that US capacities get freed up, which can be utilized for slightly higher margin business. Products that they have a margin compression or we have little lesser margin, will, if they are able to kind of manufacture in India, will move to India, will continue to service from India. So strategically, structurally, nothing changes for us. What we were doing yesterday, we'll do today and tomorrow. So everything is aligned in terms of where we are currently standing.
Got it, sir. Thank you for the answer. Sir, I have a second question on the debt. So we had reduced some debt from the IPO proceeds. So now we will be adding this around 75 crores of debt from Aptar Pharma. So how should one look at the gross debt by end of FY26? And do you see borrowings increase further from here? And what is the broad plan of repaying and reducing the debt?
I think this 75 crores, what we are saying, is including my working capital. Long-term debt is not there that much. So it is just 25 crores of long-term debt, which will be coming through Aptar Capital, Aptar Pharma. Overall, if we say consolidated level, still we are at below 0.5% of debt equity, which is quite comfortable for us, even taking into consideration of Aptar debt. So at consolidated level, we will be still below 0.5% of our debt equity.
Got it, sir. Thank you. And if I may ask one more question, so how do you see the whole tariff situation evolving? And in case if there is any tariff put on pharma products manufactured outside of the US, so how do you plan to navigate that?
Difficult. Nobody knows. We'll
if If at all it comes on generics, today it is not there.
We will see how it evolves. See, again, we are better placed, right? I've always been mentioning this. How better are we, that future will tell, right? I mean, whether it's U.S., we have ample capacity in the U.S. also, if there is some drastic move that comes in. And if it doesn't come in, you know, we are very well structured, right? So we'll see how it goes. But I think out of all our peers or even of larger companies that are there, we are better placed. Much better place, I would say.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you for the answer.
Thanks.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Forum Parekh with Bank of Baroda Capital Market. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So, sir, you mentioned that the acquired ANDAs have the potential to clock sales of around 100 crores by FY27. So could you just explain us the competitive landscape, like how competitive is the space? How many player market do you expect, on an average per molecule, and the price erosion pressure and everything?
Yes, Forum, thank you for your question. What we said is the next year FY26 revenues to be around 120 crores, not just those three products, right? So I'm saying as a vertical from this, we expect about 120 odd crores of revenues. Now coming to these three products, and then two more products will be added in the due course, and there will be some manufacturing that will move from US to India. On the competitive landscape, we have about 3 to 4 competitors on those three approved products as we speak. They are fairly large molecule in terms of volume-wise. They're a few $100 million kind of a product. Also, these three products have the government potential as well, right? So though they will be manufactured in India for the retail side of the business, those three products will still be qualified through our U.S. plant for the government play, right? So that is also an added advantage that we have, that this will also go into government. These three products will also go into government business through our U.S. plant, right? So putting it all together, as the one number that we have mentioned about 120 crores is well, very well thought out. And we feel that we are very comfortable to kind of achieve through this manufacturing site in the coming year.
Sure, that's helpful. And my second question is on the capacity expansion, where we are expecting like 500 to 600 million, capacity. So by when can we expect this increased capacity to be executed or ramp up?
So we will continue to monitor in next 8 to 10 months in terms of getting it to about 250 million of production capacity. Expandable to 600 odd million units is also not very difficult. Maybe a balancing equipment change and building up a slightly bigger warehouse, because typically how it works is you need 3 to 4 times of the production block as a warehouse capacity, right? So we have about 40,000 square feet of production block, so we need about 100,000, 120,000 square feet of warehouse space. So building up that space to take up more capacities so that the RNs and FGs can be stored. So those peripheral investment will happen in the new course. And as we qualify more and more product, depending upon what the demand lies in terms of our production capacities and demand output, we will take that informed decision whether we want to go directly from 250 to 300 to directly 600, or we want to go to 50, 300 to 400 to 500, then 600, right? So depending upon how things unfold in next couple of months, few months, we'll take that informed call.
Sure, but do we have any visibility right now, like say 2-3 or 3 to 5 years down the line, we can execute or we can ramp up this capacity?
No, no, within 2 years.
Okay, okay, great, great, that's helpful. And my last question, which is a little broader in term, like I understand that if we would have set up our own plant, it would have cost us more and would have even taken longer time as compared to acquiring a facility or a unit. But how comfortable, I mean, though, is it, you know, applying or giving 6 times EV by sales for a generic product in the regulated market? I mean, haven't we a little paid more, or is this the normal standard valuation that it's quoting in the regulated market? Some sense it can give us there.
No, Forum, I think, as I said in the very beginning, this was not a business driven, or a valuation was not business driven at all, because we knew that what is this facility, what is the total asset. It's more asset driven. Plus a little premium we paid for all the regulatory approvals, US FDA approvals, plus the ANDAs and everything, and the time factor. So it's more, it's, that is, we have not applied any multiple to their sales or to their sort of whatever revenues or whatever EBITDAs that they were. In fact, they were not earning at all, if you honestly ask me.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, and just last question.
Just to add,
on the
Komal, just to add, I think this is a value buy for us, looking to the time value of money and the cost of assets what we would have spent. So we feel this is a real value buy for us, giving us a quick return on my capital.
Absolutely, yeah. And just last on this 5 ANDAs, where I understand that 3 ANDAs can be commercialized soon, could you give us a status on the 2 ANDAs? I mean, are those US FDA approved, or by when can they commercialize? Any timeline there?
So other 2 ANDAs,
they are already approved.
We just have to change the API source, right? So that will happen in the due course as you speak.
Great, no problem. Thanks, that was helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Gaurav with Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the follow-up. Sir, could you let us know the last inspection date by the US FDA, the UK MHRA, and Health Canada for this facility? Would that be possible to share?
So the inspections happened around 22 or 23 as we speak. So probably the moment the change of ownership that has been being put it up in the FDA, I think the inspection can come. So that's the landscape currently as far as inspection is concerned.
Okay, so the last inspections happened in FY22-23. Okay, got
23, I believe.
FY23, got it. And what would be the current cost of debt for APNAR? You know, because that's one of the levers for us to refinance at lower cost. Like, what would be the current cost of debt? Would it be in the mid-teens?
10.5-11% roughly.
11%, got it.
Yeah. And
the second tranche cash, you know, from a risk management point, you've done it in 2 tranches. So the second tranche is a contingent on some, you know, first CB30 approval coming through, or, you know, some integration, any milestone, or is
yes.
You know, earn out?
Yes, yes. So let me explain, there are 2 tranches for equity. See, what is happening, some of the debt is from the parent, and as per the ECB guidelines, it is linked to the minimum average maturity, you have milestone being achieved. That's the only thing.
There is no milestone. It is linked with the ECB repayment.
Well, exactly. That milestone is as soon as we achieve that minimum average maturity, we'll repay the debt and do the second tranche equity transfer.
Okay, okay. And the debt
it's
is
more technical. It's more technical. Okay.
Yes, yes, I understand.
Yeah.
The debt currently is denominated in INR only, right?
Partly in foreign currency, mostly in INR. Two small ECBs are in foreign currency, which are going to be repaid quickly.
Foreign currency, I am hedged against foreign debtors. So against that, I also have the receivable from the foreign company. So that way, it is a naturally hedged debt.
Yeah.
Got it, got it. Just a minor clarification on the strategy. So, facility is mostly going to be, used for catering largely to the US and then potentially also to UK and Canada. Then, why bear the cost for taking, UNVISA approval, COFEP, because this would also cost money to the company. So if the current capacity is expected to be directed to the US, then why go for COFEPRIS and UNVISA?
So Gaurav, currently the products that we have good potential on multiple of those global markets. So far over last couple of years, there have been multiple requests from the buyers of this market wanting our product to be manufactured and supplied to those markets. We have been very slow in terms of allowing those products to be manufactured in our US site or qualifying for some of those markets as we speak. So those are some of the ready opportunities that we have, which we can currently see and access right away as we speak. And I think that will continue. And being in India, have the larger capabilities on the analytical and the testing side, plus the facility could run also on the multiple shifts, allows us to take up additional business of this other regulated markets, right? So put together, if there is an opportunity and we feel there is an enough margin profile that exists for our products, we would like to take up those opportunities. Not that we will be designing our portfolio to put it into Brazil or Mexico or some of those other regulated markets, but something that we are centric to US and there's an access and avenue and opportunity for us to go in other regulated market with some additional analytical work, we would like to do that. Because that's very value-adding and strategic.
Got it. No, thank you for patiently answering this. So you helped us understand, how the utilization scale-up of this new facility can happen. Any color on, how the utilization levels of your Atlanta facility as of 1H and how that could also ramp up over the next 2 to 3 years in tandem with this new facility?
Yeah, so we are at between 1.2 to 1.3 billion production capacity in Atlanta today. We are at about 60 to 70% utilization. And we feel that the utilization percentage in the U.S. will max at about 70%. I don't feel we go beyond 70-75% in terms of utilization. As we get to 2 billion capacity, our utilization at 70% comes down to about 1.4 billion units. So that is what we are targeting in next 2 years, to ramp up the U.S. capacities to 2 billion, and we could have a production output of about 1.3 to 1.4 billion units from the US manufacturing site standpoint.
Very helpful, sir. Thank you so much. Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Naitik Mohata with Sequin Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and thank you for this opportunity. And congratulations for what I believe is a very lucrative acquisition for us. So just some clarifications on the guidance and the Andaz that we have acquired. So almost we are expecting 120 crores of revenues next year from this facility. And is this on back of just the three Andaz which are commercialized, or does this also consider, you know, leveraging our own product portfolio? Plus, at the same time, will the U.S. market be the sole focus for this plant, or as it is a U.K. and Canada accredited plant as well, and that is a geography that we are actually, you know, more keen to enter into?
Yeah.
I think thank you for your question. You know, when we said we will get complete 12 months commercialization of these three products next year, like FY 26, so that's one thing. Partly FY 27, yeah, FY 27.
Yeah, FY 26, 27, correct.
Yeah.
Mr. Naitik, does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
thank
I
you.
Think so. That's only.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, I think so. That's only partially answered.
Yeah, just a second.
Swapnil? Is the line disconnected? Moderator?
Attention number, wait for operator.
So just to answer your question while they connect with Swapnil, I think the previous question was exactly the same. So one, of course, these three products can be very quickly commercialized from this facility, plus we will be shifting some of the products under CBE-30 route, which might take 3 to 5 months. And then partially, some of those products will also give some incremental revenue. That is how the revenue composition will be in the current, I mean, in the year 2026-27.
Right. And sir, also the focus in terms of geography, like U.S.,
So
Canada,
geography
and U.K.
initially will be U.S., but we will also be looking at, you know, U.K., Canada, and a few other markets, because we have a lot of these, the same products have a lot of all our current portfolio products plus these new products together. As we answered a previous question, the opportunity could be as big as about 4 billion. And उसमें अगर हम बहुत छोटा मार्केट शेयर भी ले सकते हैं तो इट कैन गिव यू अ गुड बिजनेस बट वील गो स्टेप बाय स्टेप.
Right, sir. So secondly, I would ask that, can you elaborate a little more about the therapies these Andaz are catering to? I think so, in the opening remarks, Swapnil sir had mentioned that the Andaz are ex-Sandoz. So,
These Andaz were ex-Sandoz, and then they were owned by the parent company of Apnar in U.S. And they could not commercialize it for the way they wanted to because of their own financial resource constraints, basically. And then, you know, there were a lot of other pulls and pressures at the parent end, which made Apnar India sort of be grossly underutilized. Beyond me, I can't elaborate more, actually.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. I think, moderator, if Swapnil's line is disconnected, I think we had quite a bit of questions, so we can conclude this call, or is Swapnil connected?
No, sir. He's not connected, sir.
Yeah. So I think let us conclude this call, and we always remain, so thank you very much, everyone, for your kind participation. And we always remain available for any further follow-up questions or clarifications. So thank you, and have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of Senoris Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.